Grace, the undeserved and unmerited love of God, be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today consists of two passages from Romans 6 and Ephesians 5, beginning with Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 11. Here Paul is instructing the Romans about baptism. He's instructing in this whole book the Romans and the essentials of the Christian faith. And of course, baptism figures very importantly in this. Or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, so we too may walk in a new way of life. For if we have been joined with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that sin's dominion over the body may be abolished, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin, since a person who has died is free from sin's claims. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we all will also live with him, because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will not die again. Death no longer rules over him. For in light of the fact that he died to sin once for all. But in light of the fact that he lives to God. So you too consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And from Ephesians 5, 25 to 27, Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of water by the word. He did this to present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. This is the word of the Lord. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. A study of the Bible subject by subject. That's what we're going through as we use the catechism as our outline for our sermons this year. And we're currently dealing with holy baptism. And last week we examined that the Bible, what the Bible teaches about the nature of baptism. That is, what is it really? That it's the application of water. That's part of the nature of baptism. But it's an application of water according to the command of God himself and including his own word. The second thing about baptism that we talked about was the power of baptism. For the power of baptism isn't just its ability to wash, as though it could just remove some dirt from the body, but as Peter says, the answer of a good conscience toward God. Baptism saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so the power of baptism is that God's word is there. God's word is powerful. God's word called this whole universe into existence, declares you righteous and forgiven for the sake of Jesus. And God's word, the same powerful word, declares us forgiven and righteous through our baptism. And today we consider two additional aspects of baptism. We consider especially the blessings of baptism and what it means for our daily lives. Like so many of God's gifts, it's easy to take baptism for granted. You know, each day we have family who love us, and we expect it. We see the sun, the rain, the seasons go by, and we expect them. And some go so far as to take it as their right and entitlement and not even bother to thank God himself for these things. In a similar way, God's grace is proclaimed in this world. And whether we go to church or not, many people, well, they just expect it to be there. The unmerited love of Christ is proclaimed. Some people take it for granted, even to the point that they confuse grace, the forgiveness of sins, with toleration, the approval of sin. And as people take the daily gifts of God for granted, many take baptism for granted, looking upon it as something no more important than wearing somebody's jersey. And sometimes we need to stop and think about what we have, because baptism is not a human invention. Baptism is a blessing straight from God Himself, by His power and His command. How have you, many of you remember the date you were baptized? Mine is May 7th, 1956. And no, I had to look it up too, as most of you would. Because I remember that I am baptized, I don't remember the exact date. I actually remember a bit about the day. It's kind of fuzzy. I was 5 years old at the time. At that time, probably like Clint here, I was a simple believer, a Jesus loves me, this I know believer, because I'd come to hear about Jesus through some friends that my parents had met. And the Crumschroders were the friends, and the pastor was Pastor Hilgendorf, and this was the 1950s, less than 10 years after World War II, and the Germans ruled Imperial Beach, California, I think, judging by those names. But when Pastor Hilgendorf took the water and poured it over my head in the name of the triune God, this wasn't just a social event. God Himself took note of me in a special way and counted me as having died for my sins, as being dead with Christ, my account being paid in full by my Redeemer. Now, I'm not saying that didn't happen also when I came to faith as a little kid, but this is a special way that He has appointed to make sure that this good gift comes to me, as it has now come to Clint and it has come to each of you in your baptism. At that time, you are given a special promise to you, a promise of forgiveness, a promise that you received by faith. That's the way that God has chosen to save us. He continually, through His Word, gives life and salvation. And it's something that is received by the faith that He Himself works. And we need saving. Who here was born knowing God? If that were the case, I would have been able to grow up and say to my parents, yeah, I know God, let me tell you who He is. But it didn't work that way. I was born dead, spiritually speaking, alienated from God, not knowing Him, driven by the sinful flesh, under God's wrath, definitely in need of saving. The good news is that Christ entered the world for all of us born this way, and He atoned for our sins. He removed the sin that alienates us from God so that we are at one. That's the meaning of the word atone, isn't it? So that we're at one with Him. He was delivered up for our trespasses, Romans says, and raised for our justification. What is justification? It means to declare you righteous. Everybody here, everybody on earth has been forgiven. There is forgiveness for you because Christ took your sins upon Himself and died your death for you. The key is to get it to you, to get that forgiveness that is there to you. And that's where the means of grace, that's where the word and sacrament. God in his grace gives this forgiveness to you in his word and in his baptism. It's what stirs up life in us. It's what stirs up faith in us. It's important to think about faith. You know, faith is not just an object that I can take or leave. Jesus compares our faith to life. You know, life isn't something we can think about. And yeah, maybe I'll have some and maybe I won't. Life is something that comes only as a gift. And not a gift of a thing. Our life, even physical life, is a state of being, isn't it? And so also with our spiritual life. When we understand faith in that scriptural way, faith is a new life, faith is a state of being, then we understand how it is that infants can believe. Because just as infants can be given physical life, they can be given spiritual life. And we understand how we're among the faithful also when we sleep. You know, my wife doesn't look at me napping in the chair and say, oh, their head's asleep. He's obviously not thinking about Jesus. He must have lost his faith. No, faith is a state of being. And so likewise, when Uncle George or Aunt Millie succumb to Alzheimer's or some senile dementia, I don't have to worry that they've lost their faith. Or if I have a child who's born who may never learn to sing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, because of some disability, I know that the grace of God can still be given to that child. This child still has a soul that God can touch with his holy word. It also means that when I grow old or when I'm unconscious after an accident, that doesn't extinguish faith in the life, because faith, spiritual life, is of the soul. And it is because of Jesus' promise. Remember, Jesus declared himself Lord of heaven and earth. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In Mark 16, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. That's God himself, God the Son speaking. Does he keep his promises, do you think? Well, think of the words of Isaiah. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, he said, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. You can dump all the Rocky Mountains into the Great Lakes if you want to. Well, that'll shake up your world, but it won't change one whit the love of God for you and his promises to you. And those promises were given to you in your baptism. You received his promise as according to his command at the hand of his church, according to his word. And Clint's baptism today was by that same command given almost 2,000 years ago. And in obedience, it is carried out today for him. It was given, the command was given by the risen Christ and with that same enduring promise. If you've been baptized, then you've been covered also by the righteousness of Christ. As Paul writes in Galatians 3, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ like a garment. You know, things we do in the church are done because of what they teach, because of their significance. I don't, for example, wear the alb because it's the latest style in the Carson's catalog. but it's something that teaches a lesson, that as this sinful person is covered by this white garment, so the righteousness of Christ covers us like a garment. So that you can be reminded also, as I am, of our baptism. In his command and promise, Jesus said, again, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. When children are born and take the name of their parents, and I think it's even more obvious in adoption, when people are given the name of the parents with whom they're now connected and whose, that reminds us of how God's name is given to us. We become His as a result of our baptism. And let me tell you, the Word of God is way more authoritative than any court, than any birth certificate, than any judge. By Him, we're joined with Christ. And therefore, with Him, this is key, we are joined with Him in His death and in His resurrection. Hear what Paul tells us about that. He says, are you unaware that all of us were baptized into Christ, who were baptized into Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him by baptism into death. Think of that. The demand of God's law is that sinners must die. And where does that leave me? Sinner. The good news is that Christ died my death for me. Baptism, I'm joined to His death. You know, I've had one ticket totally in my entire life. I was 17. Somewhere in Skagit County Courthouse, it says that for going through a stop sign, Ed Bryant paid, it was $70. But you know what? That's paid in full. The Skagit County Sheriff, he doesn't care about me at all anymore. He's not looking for me. There's no warrant out for me. We're square. All right? What a good thing. And so it is that next to your name in heaven is put paid in full. The death that our sins deserve has been died for us, if you want to put it that way. And the key thing is, just as Christ died and we're joined to that death, we're joined also to His resurrection. We were buried with Him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in a new way of life. For if we've been joined to Him in the likeness of His death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of His resurrection. God counts you as having died like Him, and you will be raised like Him. This is a special day for Clint. Baptism is important every single day. Is it ever possible, first of all, look at it this way, is it ever possible to lose the blessing of this baptism? Well, the promise never goes away. Is it possible to lose the life given to us in baptism? A similar question, is it possible to lose the life given to a newborn child? The answer to both of those questions is yes. And especially in the case of faith, if we are separated from the Word. Jesus gives this command, teach them to observe everything I have commanded you. In the most unbelievable blasphemy, parents have stood right here, and I know it's not the case today, but parents have stood right here, sworn in God's name to do what Jesus says, to teach their children the Word of God, the history, the doctrine, the moral law, and above all, the infinite mercy of our God. And talk about taking God's name in vain. They have no intention of doing it. Why are they here? And like a child who is fed the day she's born and then left without food and dies, the child without the spiritual food of God's word dies spiritually. In Luke 8, Jesus tells us the story of the sower and what happens when the word comes to us but is neglected. As a result, he says, it brings forth no fruit. So children may be baptized and lose their faith. And while whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, Jesus also appends this warning, whoever does not believe will be condemned. You see, the promise never changes. The truth never changes. Christ died for your sins. But when that promise is rejected in unbelief, the blessing is lost. There are also children who are raised in the Word, but they themselves grow indifferent to it. They grow indifferent to what baptism gives and promises. As Jesus put it in Luke 8, as for the seed that fell among thorns, these are the ones who, when they have heard, go on their way and are choked with worries, riches, and pleasures of life and produce no mature fruit. You've been given new life in your baptism. You've been freed from the sentence of eternal death that fell on Jesus. The wealth of Christ's atonement has been made yours. So how shall we live? Shall we value that or not? We live out the life of our baptism on a daily basis. It shows, first and foremost, in our caring for God's word. You know, I ask parents when I visit them in the hospital, and I put it just this way, have you fed the baby yet? Well, dumb question, yeah. When are you going home? Probably tomorrow. Do you think you'll ever feed the baby again? Stupid question. Are you going to be baptizing this baby? And you're going to pour out God's word according to his command on this child. And connected to that command is Jesus' own command to train up a child in the way he should go, to continue to teach everything that I've commanded you. Will you do that? Well, if you're going to feed the child his milk and later his pablum and his strained peas and all the way up through hamburgers and you name it, well, then we also need to feed our children. And we ourselves, do you think that we ever outgrow the need for food? So why would we for a minute neglect God's word? We live out the life of our baptism on a daily basis. It also shows and loving and forgiving as we are loved and forgiven. You know, what is the center Christian faith? You know, some people will tell you, thou shalt not. Well, you can get that just any place. Thou shalt not. The moral law is written on every heart. The important thing about Christianity that's shown us in baptism is that with God there is forgiveness. And as he washes away our sins in holy baptism, so we stand forgiven. And so what can you say to someone in your life who says, I'm sorry? Are you going to say, well, it's about time? Are you going to say, well, we'll see. Or are you going to look upon that person who, like you, has had their sins washed away, who, like you, is forgiven, who, like you, is redeemed? And for no good reason, because, let's face it, grace means unmerited love. for no good reason, forgive. Not because they've earned it or deserved it, but because Christ has taken their sins away. We live out the life of our baptism on a daily basis, on daily repentance, because that washing that we receive in baptism, because of God's promise, that goes on and on and on and on. We are baptized, we are washed, we are forgiven, we are given the righteousness of Christ. So how shall we live? As Paul says, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that sin's dominion over the body may be abolished, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin, since a person who has died is freed from sin's claims. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will not die again. Death no longer rules over him. For in light of the fact that he died to sin once for all. But in light of the fact that he lives to God. So, you too, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen.